Hello and welcome to week five of Bless. Now, so far in our Bless journey, we have discussed becoming people who pray and live in a more spirit-led way, who listen to people well, are hospitable and generous with our time and energy. And growing in these areas may stretch us, but the last Bless habit is, for most of us, by far the most uncomfortable and difficult. It is sharing our story with people who don't yet know Jesus. I'm really glad Dave and John Ferguson in their book focus on stories rather than arguments. We've probably all been asked awkward and terrifying questions by someone who thinks they can disprove Christianity once and for all. If God created the earth in 6 days, how do you account for dinosaurs and evolution? Or if God wanted us to be good, why did he create the devil? Now, this is called apologetics, being able to answer these difficult questions. But although those are important, and we could probably all do with equipping ourselves a bit better to handle those questions, or at least know a good book or two that we could recommend, but arguments set up a dynamic of opposition, getting into a tit-for-tat of counter-arguments. And people generally become more entrenched in their opinion when they argue because they're in debating mode, not listening mode. They're trying to win. In my experience, the people who ask those questions aggressively are not usually people I know well, and they often are not really interested in changing their mind. The beauty of Bless is that we are called to focus on blessing and getting to know people who become our friends. And part of blessing our friends is praying for God to be at work in them spiritually, so that when they become curious to find out more about us and our faith, we are ready and able to share who we've discovered God to be and the difference that it's made in our life. Our friends are not going to be attacking us with a view to destroying our beliefs, and we don't have to feel the pressure to have all the right answers for our friends because they're our friends, right? If we fumble an answer, we can laugh about it and say, oh, I really messed that one up, didn't I? And we can ask them if we can come back to them when we've had a chance to get our thoughts together. Or if we miss an opportunity to share the good news in a conversation, we can go back to our friend and say, I've been thinking about what you said the other day, and knowing Jesus has given me quite a different perspective on it, if you're interested in chatting more. Now, our friends may occasionally be interested in debating religious matters, but they're more likely to be interested in us initially and why we think and act as we do. We will sometimes get asked about why we go to church or why we believe in God, or even how we came to become a Christian and what difference it's made. And these are the things we can all be prepared to answer. One of my favourite chapters in the Bible is John chapter 9, because it is so funny. In it, we have the story of a man blind from birth and well known for begging a living on the streets, who is healed by Jesus. And it causes something of an uproar amongst his neighbours and all the people who know him, and especially the Pharisees. He gets hauled up to answer some questions by them. And we can learn a lot, I think, by sharing about sharing our story from this man. First of all, we can find out that we don't need to have all the answers, just our experience, our story. When he is interrogated, he doesn't at first even really know who Jesus is. Maybe some kind of prophet, he suggests. He's happy to admit that he doesn't know how Jesus did it, what kind of a person Jesus is. All he knows is that he was blind, Jesus put mud on his eyes, he washed it off, and now he can see. And we just need to be able to tell people what has happened to us, not just when we first came to faith, but on a daily basis. Has God given you the strength to get through times of trouble? Has his mercy and grace changed the kind of person you are, or set you free from things from your past? Have you become less anxious because he has provided what you need? Do you know what you're living for because he has given you purpose and direction? This is your story, and you can share them when people ask you about yourself. But we do need to be daily living out our story with God and consciously bringing to mind all that he's doing so that we can tell others when they ask. I learned quite a bit of chemistry and maths in school, but don't ask me to tell you about it now. It's not been a part of my life for 40 years, so it's faded in my memory and it's got little relevance to who I am now. And in the same way, our testimony is not just a meeting with Jesus many years ago. It should be a living, changing thing which is bang up to date. Do we know and could we tell someone what Jesus has said or done in our life this week? The second thing we can learn from the story in John chapter 9 is that people who are not genuinely interested in truth will focus on all the wrong things. The Pharisees' reaction to a miraculous intervention of God that changed this man's life forever is, well, it shouldn't have happened on the Sabbath. No wonder Jesus, at the end of the story, calls them the blind ones. Some people just won't get it when we talk to them. And that's why we need to begin with prayer and be led by the Spirit to speak to the right people at the right time, when they are ready to hear. We can sow seeds, but the pressure is not on us to convince people. It is up to God to prepare the soil and to make the seeds grow, and the germination may not happen for a very long time. And the third thing we can learn from John chapter 9, I think, is that we will grow in confidence as we tell others of him. The blind man tells his story the first time he's brought before the Pharisees, but the second time they call him in, he has the confidence to push back against their determined refusal to listen or to understand some basic truths which, as religious leaders, they should have been able to figure out. Even he knows, he says, that Jesus must be a godly man performing miracles by the power of God. They are so annoyed with him that he can wrong-foot them and leave them with nothing to say that all they can do is throw him out. He stands his ground and he grows in boldness because he is so secure in knowing that Jesus has transformed him and that the people in front of him, unfortunately, don't really know what they're talking about. Now, if people ask us questions out of genuine interest, we can probably ditch the sarcasm and the lack of respect which the blind man showed to the Pharisees. But what we can take from him is getting used to telling our story and growing in confidence. Let's pray for boldness and the words to say from the Holy Spirit. Let's reflect on what God has done for us in our life. And let's open our mouths to tell people about him as we seek to bless them with our story.